Okay, here we go. We are in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, but we're taking a departure from that again today. Well, you know, what's going on? Well, it's Father's Day, so we're going to take a break for Father's Day. But it also fits into Genesis, the book of beginnings, because as we started the book of the beginnings, Genesis, we looked at Genesis 1:1, that God created the heavens and the earth. We went down to verse 126, where it said that God created people, he created humanity. And when he created them male and female. And then when he created them male and female, he brought the male and the female together and they created a family. And so what did you have with the family? You had a mom and you had a dad. So we're really right there in the book of beginnings, looking at the mom, looking at the dad, and this time we're looking at the dad. So this is Father's Day 2020, coronavirus Father's Day. So let's move along and just talk about this. We're going to be looking in Ephesians at one verse. Let's see what else we're going to do. We're going to take a quick tour of the subject of fathers in the scripture, fathering. And we're going to survey the scene of fathering today. What's going on with fathering today in the world that we live in? We live in the USA, the United States of America, that has coronavirus, that has, you know, so much going on right now with the George Floyd thing and everything that that's bringing up, and how we're all learning and dealing and responding to that and learning to respond to God, learning how to respond to others with that. And what about fathers? What about fathers with their sons and their daughters? What about that in the midst of all of this? We're going to look at some of the positive aspects, things that we can learn from our earthly fathers by looking at the scriptures. I'm going to share some things I learned from my earthly father, who has gone to be in heaven, and you know, someday we'll be rejoined together. But now I'm left to carry on the things that he taught me and the things that scripture is teaching me, and learning to combine those things and learning to live our lives day by day. And then we'll be looking at God the Father and the great news. We'll be looking at the great news. So that's pretty exciting, and we'll have an opportunity for people to come to Christ with Nate Ingles. He's going to be sharing with us the gospel, how to know God. If you're separated from God, how to know him. So there's the premise for today, what we're looking at. In Exodus, in the Ten Commandments, it says that you're to honor your father and your mother. And you can either obey that command and honor your father. And some people are like, why should I honor my father? Because he wasn't a good dad. He's your dad. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have the opportunity to complain if it weren't for your dad. So be thankful that he gave you life and honor him for that. For the very start, some of us have gotten bitter about our dads. Well, you can stay in bondage if you want to, or you can move on. You can move on and you can learn something. So we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about fathering. Let's move on here a little bit and see what it has to say. Well, there's a lot of direct commands for sure. We're looking at this one here from Ephesians. And it says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Don't exasperate them. Don't push them to the limit. I've seen dads, this is a terrible thing, you know, where they tease their kids to the place where, you know, their kids will be crying and they think, you know, somehow, you know, that's cute or something. It's just awful, you know, exasperating them. And we have stories in the scriptures of fathers that were good, and we have stories in the scriptures of fathers that weren't so good, and we have stories in the scriptures of fathers that were just plain bad. So there's plenty of examples and plenty of stories in the scripture to teach us about fathers. In fact, there are over 1,800 references to fathers in the scripture, to fathers, fathering, or the fatherless. Fatherless. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the fatherless. There are 29 references in the book of Proverbs about fathering. 31 chapters in Proverbs, 29 of them talk about fathering. And one of the great themes of fathering and parenting in the book of Proverbs is wisdom, wisdom that's passed down from generation to generation, wisdom that's passed down. Well, there's something about fathering right there. We're supposed to be passing wisdom down. And if you're a father, or if you're a man, or if you're a woman, but if we're dealing with men right now, we're dealing with fathers. One of the things men are supposed to be doing is passing down wisdom. Passing down wisdom. That's one of the things that men do in the world. They pass down wisdom. So let's look at this. This is what we call the fatherhood cycle. At 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. 7 years old, they get to be a little bit smarter, don't they? They're like, well, you know, I don't know if he do everything, but he's pretty smart. You know, dad is pretty smart. And, you know, by the time they get to be 12 years old, they're like, oh, well, naturally, you know, father doesn't know that either. He doesn't know it either. 14 years old, dad, oh man, he's just like hopelessly old fashioned. You know, by the time you get to 21, oh man, that guy is so out of date. You know, what do you expect? 25, you're like, well, he knows a little bit about it, but not much. So what happened? It starts to turn. You get into your adult life and you're like, you know, now I sort of see it. Now I sort of get it. You know, but you know, he's still, you know, whatever. 30 years old, you know, maybe you ought to find out what dad thinks about this. You know, it turns around. 35. Let's ask dad what he would do before we make a decision. Whoa, you know, just bringing dad into the decision-making process. What are we going back to when we're 8? Yeah, kind of, right? You know, the sort of cycle of it. 40 years old, I wonder what dad would have thought about that. He was pretty smart. 50 years old, you know, my dad knew absolutely everything. 60 years old, I'd give anything if dad were here so I could talk this over with him. I really miss that man. Fathering and parenting and family in the cycle of life. Surviving the fathering scene. I love this one. This is one of my favorites. I like Mark Twain. He says, when I was a boy, you know, 14 years old, you know, my father, you know, was the most ignorant man in the whole world. That old man, just ignorant. He said, but by the time I was 21, I was astonished at how much they had learned in 7 short years. Dad, you know, and the way we relate to each other, the way we relate to parents. So there we are. Don't exasperate your children. Dads, you know, 1,800 times in the Bible, fathering, fatherless, fathers, God the Father. So let's take a little look at what's going on around us right now in the fathering scene. What's happening in the States right now? What's happening in the world right now? Well, there's a father absence crisis in America that 1 in 4 children are living without a father in the home. Now, it's fair to say, though, 1 out of every 4 children have a father who's not in the home. I'm going to venture to say that maybe there's just as many that have fathers in the home that still don't have a father in the home. But 1 in 4 that live with the absence of the father. Consequently, there's a father factor in nearly all of our social ills facing America. So everything that's coming against us, some of it, probably not all of it, but some of it can point back to this whole fatherless crisis, that we're without fathers, we're without wisdom. Every month, 299,000 men become fathers in the U.S. And a lot of them just don't know what to do. They don't know how to do this. They haven't had any modeling. They haven't had any wisdom passed down to them. So what are they supposed to do? You do the best you can with what you've got. Bob Dylan says that all men, so you just do what you see other people doing. Does that mean it's the way to do it? Not necessarily. You're just trying to do it. You're doing this thing blind. And so you know, men are constantly becoming fathers every day in the States. It's like the country doctor who he delivered the 10th baby in his many years. And the dad was saying to me, he said, man, I get so many kids, I don't even know what to call it. And the doctor said, maybe you ought to call it quits. maybe not. Children are a blessing from the Lord. But here's what happens. Fatherhood Initiative. I'm part of the Fatherhood Initiative and do this in the prisons, but it applies to everything. The Fatherhood Initiative is a non-Christian organization. An awful lot of the writers and awful lot of the researchers are in fact Christians. But it's the only evidence-based fathering program in the United States. And at least in our area, DCF will send people to the Fatherhood Initiative. It happens in different social programs here and there, sometimes at the hospitals, at counseling centers. But when there's a father absence in the house, there's a four times greater risk of poverty. Behavioral problems, more likely to have behavioral problems. Two times greater risk of infant mortality. Seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. Why do you think that is? It's sort of easy to figure out, right? You don't need to have a degree in psychology to figure that one out. That you have these young girls without fathers. What are they looking for? They're looking for a male figure in their life. And so many of these girls who don't have fathering, keep in mind, absent from the home or in the home and absent, they're looking for male presence in their life. So dads, be a dad to your daughter. Be a dad to your daughter, particularly in that age, you know, when she's able to get pregnant, you know, be a dad to her. And so child abuse is more likely, drug abuse is more likely to commit crime. You know, all of those things, more likely to drop out of high school. Fathers are important, but we don't want to just paint a picture of gloom and doom. We're believers in Jesus. We've been born again. We belong to God. And what we like to say is when the outlook is bleak, then look up because God is there. God is there. And Vance Havner, he said, faith sees the invisible, it chooses the imperishable, and it does the impossible. So we're in a tough way. We're in a rough way. We've got all this stuff going on around us. So what? Our job today is to be part of God's work in the future, in the present, but also in the future. And we want to do our best. So if we've messed up, if we've done things wrong, well, who really cares? What does any of that matter? His blessings are new every morning. We get forgiveness. We move on. We go on from here. And so there is hope. And it's probably important for us as well, you know, to see how other people see fathering. There's not a lot of good role models in the media for fathering. You know, maybe the best one we ever had was Cosby. And then how did that work out? You know, just craziness around us. Where are the models? Where do we see good fathering? Where do we go to get models of good fathering? Well, Margaret Mead, who she's had a big role in raising families and family philosophy. What did she say? She said, men's roles are uncertain, they're undefined, and perhaps unnecessary. She thinks we don't even need men. Man, you know, I'm a man. I want to be needed. I want to be needed in society. I want to be needed in the home. I want to be needed in the church. I want to be needed. I want to make a difference. I want to participate. Man, I feel bad that she feels like that. Gloria Steinem, you know, who she had a big role in the modern day women's movement. She said, a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle. Well, what's a fish need a bicycle for? It doesn't. And so she's saying, we don't need men. Man, that's tragic. You know, I want to be needed. I want to play a part. I want to play my role. I want to do what I'm supposed to do. I want to rise to the occasion. Another women's leader said, fathers are a biological necessity, but a psychological absurdity. Man, you know, like women are turning against men. Listen, guys, we need to start pulling it together. We need to start pulling it together. We do have a role. We do have a part. We do have, you know, a role that we can play. You know, we're not done we're not done yet, I don't think, are we? We're going to look at things that we can learn from our fathers. But you know, what's a biblical family anyway? There's lots of families in the Bible, many including Abraham. Abraham had extended families, people that weren't directly his flesh and blood, that were in his house, the extended families. Household is a word that's used frequently in the scripture. And so many of us have people and children living in our homes that aren't our direct flesh and blood, but we can father them. We can participate in that. We can be the presence that they need in their lives. Ruth and Naomi, look at that account, a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law who continued to function as a family after the death of their husband. So, we want to make sure that we're inclusive of all of, all of the people around us and all of our responsibilities. Jesus, his friends, Lazarus, live with his sisters, it looks like, Mary and Martha, Timothy. Seemed like Timothy, his dad was really sort of a non-participant. And his mother brings him up in the faith, his mother and his grandma. Well, I tell you what, I can't tell you the number of people that I talk to who have faith and say that it was a grandma. It was grandma who taught them the scripture. It was grandma who taught them about God. It was grandma who taught them to love God and to know God. You have in the scripture, you have the story of Mordecai and Esther. After her mother and father had died, her uncle takes her in and becomes her dad. So Jesus at the cross with Mary, he said, Mary to John, this is your mother, mom, this is your son. He's going to take care of you. So let's take a look at what we can learn from our earthly fathers. And we'll use the scriptures. We'll use the scriptures for sure. I'm going to do 10 things that my father taught me and look at them in relationship to the scriptures. But we're always an influence. We're always teaching. Here's what Proverbs 27 says, is don't forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Well, what's the lesson learned here? The lesson learned here is to keep your friends. Keep and value your friends. My dad, I talked to him about this one time. He celebrated New Year's Eve essentially with the same people for 30 years. Now, it doesn't mean that, the same whatever size group, but the same people. And the same people in his life to celebrate things like New Year's Eve for 30 years. How does that work? How does that work? And as men and as fathers, what do we have to learn from that? Do you have friends from 30 years ago that you're still hanging with, that you're still, share confidences with, that, you still share life with? I asked my dad, I asked him, how do you keep with these same people for like 30 years? And he said, you got to let a lot of water go under the bridge. Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to do that. Well, you have to if you want to keep your friends, if you want to be friendly, if you want to have that throughout life. What else? Let's look at the next one here. What's the next one? You need to be friendly and treat everyone with dignity. Be friendly and treat everyone with dignity. What's the verse say? The verse says, show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, and honor the king. Well, there's a respectable person, right? Showing respect for everyone, loving the brotherhood of believers, fearing God, and honoring the king. I can do that. I can honor the king. It doesn't matter to me who the president is. I'll honor him. He's the president. I'll honor him. Does that mean I like everything the president does? No. Does that mean I like every president that came down the pike? No, absolutely not. Does that mean that there's a lot of things they do I don't like at all? Absolutely. Does that mean that I haven't had presidents in my lifetime that I'd wanted to vote? Of course. But I can still give honor. I can still give honor. And the scripture tells us to do that. So I learned this from my dad, to be friendly and to treat everybody with honor. And I remember as a boy, he was a police officer. So he knew a lot of people from, you know, community policing, because that's the way they used to police. They used to walk the beat. So you get to know a lot of people when you walk the beat. And then he was that for 17 years. And then for just about an equal period of time, he was the recreation director in town. And that meant that he was on the fields all the time. He was at the basketball courts. He was at the baseball fields. He was, you know, at the beach, you know, just with people. And he hired hundreds of people. So loads of people knew my dad. And I remember being downtown New London with him one time, and we were walking, and a guy stopped him and started talking to him. And I'm going to guess that my dad talked to this guy for like 10 minutes. And after the conversation, you know, we moved on, we were walking. I said, "Hey, Dad, who was that?" And he said, "I have no idea who that was," he said, "but he knows me." And I learned that, you know, my dad just treated everybody with dignity, you know, treated everyone with respect. Didn't even know who the guy was, but the guy knew him. And so I had a conversation with him, you know, we carried on with him. And so being friendly and treating everyone with dignity, man, we need to know that and experience that, especially in this time. You see, we're living in a time where you're being asked to choose a side. You see, you're being asked to choose, you know, are you a Democrat? Are you Republican? You know, so you're being asked, you know, which side are you on? You're a Democrat, you're Republican. You for the police, you know, you against the police. You know, where are you falling out? And so, you know, falls out into this, you know, us in them. You know, you have to be in one category. You can't just love everybody. You just can't love all Democrats and love all Republicans. You know, that's not acceptable somehow. Well, you know, my dad taught me to be friendly and treat everyone with dignity, because he was a police officer and then he was a director of recreation, and you had everybody, you know, everybody was there. So you need to just learn to love everybody and treat everybody with dignity. So there's a great, Father's Day lesson, for us. What else can we learn? Let's see what I learned from my dad. This next one is, always have something going. Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave, which we're all going to, that's our destination, right? We're all heading there. We're all heading there together, really. You know, talk about being together. Whose side are you on? The side of life or death? Well, you're living your life, but we're all going to die. So for in the grave, where you're going, there's neither working or planning nor knowledge or wisdom. So do what you can here. And I learned this from my dad. My dad was a hard worker. He worked hard, taught me to work hard. I feel like I work hard. I like to work hard. I believe in hard work. And always have something going. Always have something going. You know, the great thing about having a lot of things going is if one of them doesn't work, you just do the other one. You know, it's nice to have multiple plays in the playbook. You know, when the team says to you, what play are we going to do? You go, I don't know. I only have one. Well, you know, get a couple of plays in there and you might be able to use the options that you have. If one fails, let's just go on to the next one. So always have a lot of things going. There's some great advice for men. There's some great advice right there for dads, for fathers. What's number four is have a sense of humor. Man, you know, lighten up. What in the world is going on out there? Proverbs says a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bones. So, you know, so I have the opportunity to, I've worked with a lot of pastors over the years, and I can tell you, you know, if I have any advice for these guys, it's like, don't take yourself so seriously. I mean, have a little humor, you know, lighten up a little bit. A cheerful heart is good medicine. You know, just be cheerful, you know, some laughter, that doesn't mean you treat life, you know, as everything is frivolous and you know, nothing has any value and you're not supposed to be, you know, serious about it. And not at all, but humor's important. I mean, the Bible says that it is. You know, have a cheerful heart, like stuff being so. Yeah. I learned it from my dad. my dad definitely had a sense of humor. Here he goes, be faithful. Be faithful. Proverbs says, many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find. A faithful man who can find. One of the greatest legacies that a father can leave his children is to love their mother. One of the greatest legacies that a father can leave to his children is to love their mother. To love their mother over the course of a lifetime. Love. What a great thing, because they'll learn to love. They'll learn to stick it out. Be faithful. Be faithful. You know, if you talk to people who've been married for a long time, you ask them, you know, how do you do that? They get like, it's forgiveness. You know, it's just forgiveness. You need to let things go. You need to be faithful. You need to be faithful in the hard times, because things will get miserable. In the traditional wedding vows, it says, I take you to be my wedded wife, husband, to have and to hold from this day forward. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse. And when I meet with people that are getting married, I tell them that, those vows. Now, you know, you may want to use those vows, maybe you don't want to use those vows, but I like to tell them those traditional vows. I tell them this, you know, it says for better or for worse. And I say, nobody can promise you that things are going to get better. Nobody can promise that to you. I said, but I guarantee you that things will get worse. It's a promise. I promise you things will get worse. So faithfulness comes to play when those things get worse. So you stick with it when it's worse, and when you get to the other side, it's better. So be faithful. You know, my dad was faithful to my mom, and he was faithful to the end. So I learned that. I appreciate it. Tribute to my dad. It's Father's Day. But, you know, Scripture teaches us this. And then take advantage of all that God has given to you. This is an interesting verse. Paul's talking to Timothy, and he's sort of a spiritual son to him. You know, he's bringing Timothy up in the faith. He's mentoring him, you know, apprentice, you know, whatever kind of language you might want to use, coaching him. He says, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. This is the part we want, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Provides everything for our enjoyment. So, everything that's out there, God has given to us to enjoy. Like what? Like today. Just enjoy today. He gave you today. You've got some people around you. Maybe you don't have people around you. But you have today. But whatever he's given you, he's given you for your enjoyment. So often we think that God just wants to take away from us. What do you want to leave behind? What do you want to leave behind? The best gift that you can leave behind is that people knew you, people remembered you, and you inspire them to do good things. Enjoy the life around you. Enjoy the opportunities around you. Enjoy COVID. You know, I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible what's going on with COVID. And, you know, we know about the deaths, and we know about the sicknesses, and we know about the quarantines, and we know about the difficulties, and we know about the layoffs. But life has changed. And so take advantage of the opportunity of it being changed. And use it. Use it for however you can use it. Get everything you can get out of it. What else can we learn as fathers and as men? Tribute to dad. Have courage. Have courage. You see, courage is firmness of mind and will in the face of danger or extreme difficulty. Have courage. God told this to Joshua, haven't I commanded you to be strong and courageous? Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord will be with you wherever you go. What a great promise. What a great promise. The next one, I already got into this one a little bit, and that's work hard. Work hard. This is one of my absolute favorite verses in Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. I love that. I love that the Bible says mind your own business. Mind your own business. Mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you. So that your daily life, because you see, this is about daily life, daily living. So your daily life might win the respect of outsiders so that you won't be dependent on anyone. Well, that's great. That's great. What a way to live. And I can tell you that my dad taught me that. My dad taught me that. You know, don't kill yourself, but work hard and do a great job. Work hard and do a great job. Here's another one that we can learn, and it's one that I learned from my dad, so tribute to my dad. You know, I learned this from him. To be positive in a negative world. Be positive in a negative world. Thessalonians says, encourage one another with these words, that the Lord is coming. My dad used to always say, better days are coming. But he lived life to the full in the moment. You know, he lived every day to the full. He just lived it to the full. But was always, you know, better days are coming. This isn't it. You know, there's a future in front of us. Be encouraged. Be positive. This is a negative world. We're living in a very, very negative time. We can be positive in it. You know, we're going to heaven. We have eternal life. We have God on our side. We have God in us. Jesus in us. So when we die, he'll resurrect our bodies. So we can be positive. We can be positive people. Here's the final one. I think this is pretty important. Learned it from my dad. Men need women. Genesis, you know, 2:18, the Lord said, it's not good for the man to be alone. It wasn't good for him to not have women in his life. And he said, I'll make a helper suitable for him. And a lot of people, you know, what about that helper thing? Hey, listen, I need all the help I can get. And for me to really have a fruitful, successful life, I need women to help me in my life. I need them to help me. Women are very competent. To me, there's not much a woman can't do. I let out my bias. I think women can do almost everything better than men. Traditionally, women aren't stronger than men, so usually men can lift more weights, you know, than women. But there's women who could, you know, outdo me easily. But for the most part, you know, there's nothing a man can't really do that a woman can't do better. But we need women in our lives. And I have had the pleasure of having some of the most inspiring and competent women in my life. I've had my wife. I've had my mother, I've had my sisters, I've had my coworkers. Just amazing. You know, we just went through this whole cultural thing with the Me Too movement. I don't think that the Me Too movement needed to be preached at me. My dad taught me to respect women. He always respected women. He respected women the same way he respected men. And see, he grew up, you know, a little bit old school. He grew up in, you know, what James Brown, you know, said was a man's world. It's a man's world. Well, he grew up in that man's world, and he treated women with the same respect that he treated men. He taught me to do that. You treat women with dignity. Treat women with dignity. Well, a few other things that we can learn, and then we're going to pass it off here to Nate so he can... he can tell us the gospel, and he can tell us the gospel. So Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What's God the Father like? Now we're talking about God the Father. God the Father is the only absolutely perfect Father. And it is true that when you become born again, when you become saved, that you get reparented. Even if you had great parents, had great father, like I had a great father, God's going to reparent you. You're going to learn some new stuff. You're going to learn stuff you've never learned before. God is our Father. He is our only Father. He's absolutely perfect. If we have the same spiritual Father, we're in the same family. Think about that. So red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in His sight. We have the same Father. We're in the same family. And there's a big message there about God the Father. You know, Acts 17 says that from one blood he created us all. We're all connected. And all of us need some form of reparenting. Every single one of us does. We were born because we had parents, a mother and a father. Even if you don't know who they were, you can still honor them even if you don't know who they were. Again, you know, if you want to complain and, you know, bellyache all the time, you wouldn't have the opportunity to bellyache if it wasn't for those parents who you don't even know where they are. So just honor them. So just honor them. Even if you were a test tube baby, as they used to call it. Well, Jesus tells us that now we can be born again. To all who received him, he gave the right to become the children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor by a husband's will, but born of God. And we are loved with a perfect love, regardless of our family background, regardless of our family of origin, regardless of our troubled past. We like to say around here that there's no use hoping for a perfect future or regretting a troubled past. It's only today that matters. Live it like it might be your last. And so he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the one that you need. And so if you're a believer, live today like it's going to be your last. If you're not a believer, then live today like it's going to be your last, and listen to what Nate says and come into a living relationship with the true and living God. Hey, love you guys. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Love you.